It's the Tiltcast, episode 626, Dark Souls Square Butt.
And this week, guys, we talked more Stellar Blade, the Altars, Wu Chang Fallen Feathers, and Drill Core. Stay tuned.
Gooner game.
We're back.
I'm over here losing my shit.
Tiltcast, we're an M-rated show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm coughing my lungs up. Rusty.
The three of us, you get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. Well, we're back in studio again. It's not nearly as hot this week.
Hey, I mean, you know, it's not, I mean, yeah, I'm distracted. Sorry. Telling you, do not inhale, stuff that should not be inhaled, such as, Dr. Pepper.
I'll say hot takes by Rusty.
I mean, hey. Very hot takes. Yeah, the weather up here's been great, except for Canada. If Canada would stop burning and sending the smoke our way, that'd be great. That's one of the reasons why I'm coughing so much right now, is the air quality up here in the north states is pretty terrible. The sky, the sun in the afternoon and early evening is blood red because of all the smoke. So that's a fun little fact from the north.
Well,
I mean,
it's been hot all week here, except for when I wanted to jump in my pool. I've been trying to put up my pool now for days, and finally got it up this week, and then didn't get a chance to get into it until Saturday.
It really wasn't hot yesterday.
No, I got into it while it was pretty cold. So, like, I finally had a day where I wasn't doing anything. The first time in damn forever. And, yeah, yesterday I got into it when it was about 85 degrees outside. The day before, it was actually, I had a chance, but it was raining. So, wasn't going to do that. And I'd just gotten it ready to go. And I was like, really? It's going to rain? So, now I've got to clean and shock it. It's been the rainiest summer ever over here. The seasons are all mixed up.
I've had to deal with algae twice already. Just from all the rain. Weird.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And we've had the most, we've had the most air quality bad days. Like, we've had more air quality days in Michigan than I think, like, Los Angeles has had.
Over smoke.
Over the smoke, yeah.
Yay, wildfires. Themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, half of Canada is on fire right now, so. It is what it is, I guess. But.
Yeah, I actually, this has actually been a really good weekend for me because I've gotten to do very minimal chores and a whole lot of video games this weekend for once. Like, I've waited all summer to do this, basically. It was my birthday on Thursday, and then Friday I decided to take that day off. And all I had to do was laundry, essentially. And I did nothing but play video games all day Friday and all day Saturday. So I'm having a pretty good weekend so far. Actually, I hope it's not a real long show because I've had a lot of fun playing video games.
I'm currently playing video games.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
The so, man, video games has been kind of a toss up for me, especially for the last couple of weeks, right? Because it's been, you know, the Division 2, live service game, I burned out on it finally. So
you got everything you wanted to get out of it?
Pretty much. I mean, I still want a shooter, but I don't necessarily want that. And I also am open to other games. Like I've been kind of dabbling with a bunch of games. You know how I get. Sometimes I will have a moment where I'm like, I can't find something that fits. I had a few days like that where it's just like nothing really fit right. You know, couldn't really get into anything. And Division was basically the same fucking missions over and over again. And there wasn't really anything changing, so I was like, whatever. Fun while it lasted, lasted a lot longer than I expected. So that's kind of the thing. You know, but
like you probably got another 50 hours out of it, right?
More than that, I think. I'd have to actually take a look at Steam thing here. Where is it? I got 87 hours, 87 and a half hours out of it. So that's not bad. Because the last time I played The Division 2, it was on the Epic Games Store. And I picked it up on Steam because, well, I really despise the Epic Games launcher right now. So, and it was on super duper sale. So I picked it up there. So,
wait, which
87 and a half hours for a game that's 7 years old. Not bad.
Gotcha.
I just was looking for something new, or something different. And I got everything that I wanted out of it. So I just kind of bounced around. I got a lot of shit that I downloaded. Farm Simulator 2025 and played a grand total of 3 hours of that thing. Not for me. Nah, not for me. I'll play just about any other simulator.
Wait, I missed. Which simulator?
Farm Simulator.
Oh, that's a Jason game.
That's a Jason game?
Jason likes the Sunday games.
It's...
I don't know about farming, no.
It is... Like... No. I really... Like, I could do Train Simulator more than I could do Farm Simulator, right? There's a lot of sim games out there. It's just, like, a lot of them. And, honestly, the crazy ones, like, the Money Laundering Simulator is way more entertaining than this. Or the PC Building Simulator. That one's actually... You know, that one could be halfway informative if it wasn't, like, simplistic. But there was, I mean, there are still situations that it's still useful for, like, trying to troubleshoot a PC problem. So if you're new to PC building, that would be a way to go. Why you would be playing a video game about that? I don't know. But... yeah, I haven't had any, you know, as much fun with a simulator game since, Power Washing Simulator or something very, relaxing about that. Also maddening because if you do the whole, like, you know, power wash a car, you're looking for that one little speck you missed and, you can't finish the mission without, like, finding that little speck, so you spray the car all over again.
I have really weird tastes when it comes to video games. But yeah, simulator games aside, I tried The Alders. That's a very interesting game.
There's nothing else like it.
Yeah, it's very different. But there's a couple buts there. You know how I feel about games that basically force you into having like relationship simulator bullshit?
That's a little bit of that. Well, you're having relationships with yourself.
Yes, you have relationships with yourself, which is essentially my fucking nightmare. Like, if I had cloned myself a bunch of fucking times and I had to walk around with different versions of myself in a confined space. Yeah, no, there'd be fucking murder going on, I think.
It may not be for everybody. So I like the systems, though.
What you're saying is, can never do multiplicity.
No, I would not be able to do that because, that would be... eventually, there would be a clone of a clone of a clone and a clone, and he'd just be over there, like, fucking, like, pissing in the corner. It's like... fucking slap the shit out of him, you know?
I like Pizza Steve.
That movie.
Well, that was Multiplicity, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That took me a second.
I love that movie. Oh, God.
Got paid very well for that. But yeah, it's one of those games where it is... like part, you know, day simulator. So it is incremental in what you can do in a day because you can only do so much in a day, and then you have to come back and you have to deal with like yourself, your other selves fighting over, you know, other stupid shit, and then you have to be, you know, you take one side of things over the other, and then one of them gets pissed at you, and you know. One of them turns into a fucking drug addict. It's everything I imagine what would happen if I multiplied myself in a way. You would think that you would be your own best friend, but not everybody is a mog. So, yeah. So I'm only like, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 hours into that game. I don't know. Oh, okay. I'm going to lose track of time.
It forces you to think of more efficient ways to do things.
It does.
I think if you really dig into like the story behind it, too, is actually really interesting, though. Like, it just keeps unraveling, and that's the part that like I really dig. You're not trying to fuck yourself, so there's that, right?
Yes, there's that. Thank God.
It's just all like, here's all the different layers that it's kind of like a regret simulator, right? It's all the different ways that he regrets making poor life choices and having a very simple output, right? He's like, oh, if I'd have done this, it'd have been better, but I'm kind of an asshole. Right. If that version of me is actually kind of an asshole because I did those things, right? And on top of that, it's a pretty, like, it's not overly complicated on the survival mechanics, right? Like, it's fairly complex on the problem solving, though. I don't know. It's a different game.
It is a very different game.
And it's going to go on like a list of some sort. I don't know. I got to finish it, but I don't know if it's going to be my favorite. But it's definitely like, it's
unique enough.
It's got to go on a list.
Yeah, it's unique enough. I mean, it's one of those game concepts that is like, okay, what if we built a game that's like this, but we throw this unique storytelling twist at it, and that becomes like the identity of this game. But like on the base of this is, we've seen this system before and this system before, but we have never seen it combined with this system that we're just creating now. So this make that, you know, you mash those all together and you get a new flavor of pizza. And there we are. That's kind of what the Altars feels like, because you've seen the base building, set up. You've seen the resource management and the time management, situations in other games, but you never really had the quantum loop situation that was going on with, trying to populate a space base with other versions of yourself. So that's, I can appreciate that. Unfortunately, it's one of those games that I have to be in a mood to play. I can't really get sucked into it because it's very sectional. You play one day and it only saves at the end of a day. So there are situations where I'm like, I want to get this shit done, in this play session in a day. And then I'm sitting there like fucking trying to break up other versions of myself because, they have a disagreement about how shit is being mined. I really don't care. Just do your job, so it's a thing, right? I will give it at least that. But yeah, I mean, I've been bouncing around, doing weird shit, these fucking video games and stuff. the other games, I'm having to look because my brain is rotten and I've slept too much or not enough since then. I played a little bit of Wu Chang Fallen Feathers. By a little bit, I mean the first half an hour. Then the game crashed on me and I said, fuck you.
Damn.
So it was late at night, and it caused my system to crash hard. I don't know why, but it was non-recoverable. Had to turn the PC completely off and reboot it. So, what I saw of it so far is, is interesting. It's a Souls-like from what I was able to gather. It has some interesting, neat little mechanics. But I have to play more than a half an hour for it to actually, sit in my brain for any period of time.
Did you pick a build at that point?
No. I mean, I got to the point where I picked up the halberd off the ground and the game froze.
That sucks.
If that tells you anything.
That sucks.
Yeah. So I got the halberd. I walked up the hill right outside that little village, literally a half an hour into the game. And the game froze on me. So I don't know what the fuck the deal is with my, with my machine. It sometimes does that type of thing. And I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to give it another try.
Yeah. They're working on some optimization passes right now. There was one that went through recently. I turned off Frame Gem because it made my frame rate weird. And then after I turned off frame, I'm using DLSS. I don't know anybody's not using DLSS on hardly anything, but, yeah, frame gen for me is super janky sometimes. Sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I don't have a reason to go to 200 FPS, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Outside of trying to smooth out some crazy hitching maybe, but that's about it. It needs to be a little bit more adaptive, I think. And they're still working on that kind of shit. So yeah, Wu Chang, reserve. Set aside, I have it downloaded, but really have, did not have a very good experience because 30 minutes into the game, you basically have what the controls, you've killed a couple, free monsters and then had your shit pushed in by the first boss because, that's what Souls-likes do is
give you a boss that's basically almost impossible to kill. You die, you learn the death mechanic, and then you move on. That's basically where I was at. And then I played probably about a half an hour of Abiotic Factor because
that game's
that's
awesome
on Game Pass. I don't know how I feel about that game.
What are you?
I think I would feel better about that game if it was if I played it multiplayer.
Because
it's built
that
for like 1 to 4 players, right? So, but I just don't feel like that game didn't click with me almost immediately. Like, okay, this wants to be Half-Life, but a crafting game as well, and it really is bothering me right now.
I don't know. I played it exclusively single player. Different strokes for different folks, though.
And so, again, I have weird needs for games sometimes. So I get locked into, I need this flavor of game for it, you know, for it to work right. And I'm in a weird in between because what I'm needing is more like looter shooter, because that's kind of been the flavor for the past month or so, but more shooter than looter. And that's why I picked up Cyberpunk 2077. I'm going to give that another go. And play through that and get maybe possibly through Liberty City, because I haven't actually gotten to that that part of the game yet.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's kind of the goal with this. I am very specifically playing a Netrunner pistol build with Cyberpunk 2077. So I am highly focusing on like Netrunner skills with pistols as a backup. That's the goal. You know, I've already played this, you know, the game as like a run and gun fucking, you know, street samurai. I want to play the game as a fucking Netrunner, because it can get kind of crazy. Right. So that's my goal with that. And I'm kind of building a character around that concept. That's where I'm heading in, you know, in directions for, you know, for games right now. Lots of shit on, you know, on the back burner, of course. But that's what's, you know, that's what's hitting the itch right now. Is, you know, there's lots of games coming, but not here yet, you know?
That's fair. Jason, you been playing anything?
I played a little bit of Expedition 33, but I didn't get more than a couple hours this week, so you know, I'm not going to talk much about my experience yet, because there's not been a whole lot of it. Just had a really busy week. The air conditioner on the wife's car is not working exactly right, so I would get home and have to ferry people around everywhere, because even though Titans baseball's over, the girls still have volleyball and stuff like that. So
yeah, sounds like you had an amazingly exciting week.
It was great. And then, you know, what nights we weren't running around, I've been slowly vacuuming all of the dead algae I killed out of my pool, which is also awesome, because that means we've not been able to get in it all week.
And none of this sounds fun.
No,
it hasn't been. Oh, and then top it off with migraine yesterday. It was wonderful.
Oh, yeah, dude. I had a week. Well, the start of my weekend was fun. Because start of my weekend happens at on Friday nights, right? So I get off work. I have been really looking forward to flexing my Second Amendment rights, but I got kind of stopped on that on this weekend because I had planned to go to the range with with something that I had picked up on sale, but I have to jump through the hoops legally to be able to pick this shit up. So it's sitting, so what I picked up is currently sitting at the store waiting. So instead of having range time this weekend, I decided to go and spend some quality time with my family at camp. And one of the things that happened over the course of the last week is my dear mom picked up a slushy machine.
I know where that's going.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. And she's like, yeah, I got this really new slushy machine. Help me set it up. I set it up. I get this going. And she goes, and she's like, hold on a second. Walks into the into the camper, comes back out with two big bottles of pre-mixed margarita mix, sets them down on the table. Thump. Make it work. I'm like, yeah, all right. So, so here I am, and I've I'm testing this thing out. Like, it will make. Instead of doing the margarita mix, I wanted to make sure that it actually got cool enough to be able to make slushy. So we had some lemonade that we were that was in the fridge. I just poured some lemonade in there and made a really small batch of frozen lemonade. That came out perfect. It's like, this is going to be great. I pour in the margarita mix and I go and I let it do its thing. I go sit by the fire and I'm like, I look over and it's still liquid and I'm like, oh no, this won't do. I go and check the temperature. It's like -7 degrees Celsius and it's still liquid. I'm like, I guarantee you the alcohol content's too high. There's not enough water in there to freeze. There's too much alcohol and it's keeping it from freezing. So I look at the bottle and I'm like, oh yeah, that's way too strong. You're supposed to put this in to a blender with ice. You don't make slushies out of this. You're supposed to put this in with ice and make a margarita that way. So I have to figure out the proper ratios in this slushy machine to be able to make margaritas in a slushy machine using pre-mixed margarita mix. And if you have a Sam's Club nearby, members mark margarita mix, the golden margarita is what I was working with. So after some trial and error, and I'll tell you, the trial and error is the fun part because you're going to have to, you're going to have to basically pour yourself small margaritas to be able to tell if it's slushy enough, right? So I'm over there going through margarita mix like fucking crazy, because I'm taking out like shots worth at a time, sipping them, and I'm like, nah, it's cold, but it's not slushy. We got to do this, So I go and make simple syrup. I add a little bit of water, and I get, I get to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm putting in about a half a cup of simple syrup and about a half a cup of water, and it's starting to get a little slushy, but this isn't quite right. So the first batch was like I drank an entire batch, probably about a liter of margarita mix, trying to figure this out.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of liquid for your tiny stomach.
That you're correct. I was really, I was.
Super, how fucked up were you?
I was super, I was toasted.
I'd have been toasted. I don't have the same issue.
I was so messed up.
You could have killed yourself. Course, damn.
Everybody was around. Is like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm going to get this right. I will figure this out. And they're like, well, we want some margaritas too. Stop drinking it all. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you could have passed around the fucked up ones. I doubt anyone would have cared.
I was just like, give me a moment. I've got this shit on lockdown. So I pour in some more margarita mix, and I go over to the refrigerator. I'm like, I'm sick and tired of making simple syrup. What can I do? What do I have in the refrigerator that's basically simple syrup? Sprite. I grab a can of Sprite. I open the fucking can of Sprite. I pour the whole fucking can of Sprite in there. 1 liter of, you know, of golden margarita mix and one can of Sprite. Perfect slushy. I was well messed up at that point. I did a dance around the campfire.
Was this Friday night?
This was Friday night.
Yeah, this I could tell from the text.
The text that I said, when I came back home, I just walked into the house and it said, Alexa, play Despacito. Alexa, stop playing Despacito. Alexa, stop. Oh, my God. Alexa, stop. No, not the remix. Stop. It just happened again. So yeah. And then I made it. I cast that to all the smart speakers in the house at 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. It was a fun time. So I now know how to make margaritas in a slushy machine. I had the worst hangover I have had in years. Saturday morning.
Sure you did.
And I hate tequila. Tequila sucks. What, I don't have this problem with the clothes
come off.
What's that?
What, the tequila didn't want to make you dance on the table and your clothes come off?
Oh, no, no, no. The clothes was already out. I mean, no, the, I'm fine. I was literally okay. Until I decided that it was time for sleep and sleep happened. So I am now the slushy master, and I have sworn off margaritas for at least another week.
We won't do margaritas at my house.
Well, I yeah, have.
No. No. But there will be scotch.
Yeah, which I'm only going to have a glass fine. Of. That's all you guys.
That's fine. I am actually interested in seeing if I can find either soju. And if I can't find soju, I have a fallback for my drinks. Generally it's either going to be soju or rum, one of the two. I was a wine drinker before the surgery, and I find that I really can't deal with the taste of that anymore. There's far too much sugar content in it. So that messes with my system. So I can't drink wine anymore. So it's hard liquor or nothing. I had a really fun Friday night.
in a less fun, Saturday morning, afternoon, early evening. Getting old sucks.
With all that margarita mix you decide to drink.
That is another thing, is like margarita mix has a lot of sugar in it too. So that was really messing with my systems in two different ways. You know, just the alcohol content and the fact there was a lot of sugar in it. So I felt terrible, like always terrible, on Saturday. I either highly recommend or highly, don't recommend, depending on your state of being, because margaritas are great. Don't do what I did and drink a liter of margarita before you realize that you have. And then, come up with the perfect ratio for a slushy. Now that I know the perfect ratio for the slushy machine, I won't have to do that again, thankfully. I want to make myself a soju slushy, because if you haven't figured this out, soju is my new favorite thing. It is essentially a Korean rice wine. But it's flavorless. Like, it does not have a flavor of its own, and you can't really detect that there's alcohol in it. It's
a mixer.
It is 110% a mixer. Drinking soju by itself is pointless because
it's not completely pointless. It has no flavor.
It has zero flavor. It takes on whatever you put it in. In fact, soju is so flavorless that they make flavored soju. They have like lychee, soju or coffee soju or like strawberry or watermelon, grape soju's, essentially they added flavor to it so that it actually has a flavor. I have a mojito, soju that works really well with Sprite. What I can do with, with soju is it's 1-to-1. Like the amount of soju versus the amount of mixture is 1-to-1. That seems like a lot, for a mixture, but it's really perfect. Cause that's all you need. I will go and make myself a drink and that, I won't know that I'm messed up until I stand up. Soju is like that. I love it. It's perfect. Like I don't even know if I'm saying this right, but lychee is kind of like a floral, flowery kind of flavor. It's very well known in Asia. Its flavor, it's a nice mixer. If you mix that with Sprite, it has a floral smell to it. And it's a very interesting flavor. It's kind of like
soju is basically just a white, colorless rice wine.
Yeah, rice. It's a spirit made from rice, and like tapioca starch and a bunch of stuff. Basically, it's clear, and it is the perfect mixer. You put it into anything, and it makes it alcohol, and you can't really taste that it's alcohol. It's so nice. It's very dangerous because of that. Because like, I imagine if I made the lemonade slushy, you wouldn't be able to tell that there was alcohol in it until you stood up. That might be next week. It's good enough that that the one place that I was able to find it here in northern Michigan, I went in specifically to ask them to order me an entire case. $5.99 a bottle, which is not bad. A case comes with 12 bottles. So I'm getting 12 bottles of soju. I will be set for at least 12 weekends.
It's a lot of soju.
It really is. I mean, if I get people in my family hooked on it, then I'll probably go through it much faster. But it's for me, it is something that I can come home to on a weekend, have not get super messed up because it can, if you have more than one bottle, you can get real messed up with it. But for me, it's really mellow, and I have the best dreams after I've drank soju. I have like the best dreams, and I have no hangover because, you know, it's nice like that. So soju, give it a try. I highly recommend. I highly doubt that my bariatric doctor is listening, but I don't drink at all. I don't drink at all. I've been following the diet quite well. I'm actually doing quite well with my diet. In fact, I am looking to lose 2 more pounds before I get on the flight, because in 2 pounds I will have hit 150 off. So I'm doing whatever I can right now, minus the whole margarita thing that set me back a little bit. But I'm doing everything that I can right now to lose that extra 2 pounds. So that I can get on the plane and be happy with that. You guys are going to be fucking, you're never going to, you won't know what to do. Like all you guys just have this mental image of big me. And, it's not, that's not a thing anymore. It's not a thing, man.
It's good. It means you're going to live longer.
Well, I'd hope so, unless I make bad decisions. But yeah, that's a good side effect, I suppose. I'll live long enough to see all my bad decisions come to fruition. Perfect. But yeah, I feel great. Like I have not been this light since freaking probably 6th or 7th grade. Not saying something. I was always a big kid. So it has changed my life in many, many different ways. And I'm just thrilled. It's so good. So good. Man, I'm living life and I'm loving it. So, man, I can't wait. We gotta, we're gonna have fun.
Yes, we are.
I don't know, man. I've been talking a lot. Somebody else talk. That's how we do segues around here.
Well,
that's right.
I did end up playing a couple of games. I finished Stellar Blade.
You did? Okay. I haven't even touched that. I've got it downloaded, but I haven't.
I think I sent you guys a screenshot. I want to say it took me like 46 hours or something like that.
That's not bad.
And that was, I did all, but there's some photograph missions. So you're supposed to find essentially like little, it looks like graffiti art on different things in the environment. And that's basically all I didn't do. So I probably could have spent, I actually didn't know what I was looking for until I realized you could go into the database that's on there and actually look at pictures of where all that stuff was. And so I finished one mission and then I had two more to go. And I was like, I need to just finish this game. Like, that's going to take away from me right now. If I'd have been doing that the whole time, that'd have been fine, but I wasn't. So I said, screw it. I'll finish the game. So I did. I finished that on Friday, I think. And I had a blast. You can definitely cheese the game. There's kind of like an ultimate that you can do, and there's your left button triangle or left button Y is like a cheese ball move. Essentially, like spin in a circle and stun lock shit. And if you're having some trouble, that is definitely a way to go. I got all the skill points, so literally my entire skill tree was filled out by the time I finished that game. So I was essentially at max level. There wasn't anything I could do other than change out my frames. I had all the frames. I had all the different abilities, and essentially I went with, there's basically like three power set types, so to speak. So you've got your regular moves, which are combo moves, right? Kind of like Devil May Cry. And then you have these things called beta abilities, which is like four more face button mapped abilities that you can do after you build up enough charge. And then there's some other stuff that you get from doing like lots of evades. And I'm trying to remember what else triggers it. But anyways, you build up another energy source and that gives you another right bumper plus face button abilities, right? And I had all of those abilities, all the way maxed out. And the way that I set your frames are kind of like what your additional attributes are. You can essentially set like four different things. So I had one that gave me like health after kill. I had one that gave me energy. More energy after hit for those abilities. I had one that was like better on overall crits and one that was better on combos. And when I go against a boss, I'd switch out the one that was health on kill to more of the other energy type that you use for the other set of abilities. But essentially, like, by the end of that game, I was fucking steamrolling it. Like, I had last boss like four or five tries, maybe. Does give you an optional boss at the end. In my opinion, way cooler to kill the boss in the one optional battle than it is the other. So you get there, you know what I'm talking about. But there's basically like a choice at the end of the game. You can kind of do one thing or the other. Then immediately goes into New Game Plus. The things I didn't do is I didn't do all the boss rush challenges. I only did a couple of boss rushes, mostly because I was showing Jason how the game mechanics worked last week. So I didn't go through all of that, but I probably could have spent another 2 or 3 hours doing that, especially now that I know all the mechanics. I could have gotten through that stuff pretty quickly. Initially the bosses are really challenging, until you have the tools in your kit to really make a difference. Like when you first start out, you barely have enough energy at full energy to do like one counter plus one ability. And so you got to get a lot of parries in order to do a lot of attacks in order to build up enough energy to do good attacks. And so like the first three or four boss fights are pretty hard. And then after you get more stuff in your kit and you understand how all the systems work together, it wasn't that hard. There's only maybe – there was one enemy that was giving me trouble and then I came back to it later and then demolished it. It was a world boss. Recommend getting all the extra missions every time you go into town. That's what I did. Recommend exploring everything. It's essentially like Devil May Cry with some extra RPG mechanics. Or Bayonetta. You can do a lot of aerial combos. I didn't do a lot of aerial combos. Like, that is one way to kind of play the game. I essentially did a lot of counters and a lot of parries because I got more energy doing that. Every time you go and level up, you can go through the tutorial and learn how those like abilities work together. So it's at the end of the day, Stellar Blade was like surprised the hell out of me. I know it's a love letter to Nier. I found the combat more satisfying than Nier. I know a lot of people find the story content and story twists in Nier better. From a pure gameplay perspective, though, I like it better than Nier. Hot take, but yeah, 4.5 out of 5. Pretty solid ass game. Solid ass game. Easily on my end of your list. Glad I finally played it. Don't know what I was thinking.
I need to play it. Like,
I will.
Like, and if you notice, like, I watched over all the Gunnar stuff. It got unfairly pinned in the press. Like, it really got unfairly pinned in the press. It's about as Gunnar. It's less Gunnar than any Dead or Alive game, honestly. It's less Gunnar than all the weird Steam games that are supposedly on Shadowban right now. You've got probably four bikini-style outfits that you can wear. Got a lot of. You've got probably another, like, 10 outfits that show a lot of butt cheek. You've got a lot of probably, like, 10 or 15 outfits that are pretty normal, honestly. Like, if somebody who was a little bit less perfect was wearing them, you wouldn't think twice about because they're pretty normal. So, like, yeah, there's definitely some Gunnar aspect there. I spent a lot of time fishing. I really liked fishing for some reason. It gave me extra materials for stuff. So that I could get my heals up to max, essentially. There's a material you can buy in there that you can then exchange to get modules to get your heals up to max. And even if you don't do that, if you explore the world a lot like I did, you can get your heals up to max. I think the only thing... I don't think I got my damage all the way up to max. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I think that was the one thing I didn't find the last part for. But, like, I 98% centered that game, essentially, right? Like, I did pretty much everything in sub 50 hours and could have gone into New Game Plus and probably would have had fun, except I just had a big backlog and, you know, I have more income than I used to. So, and I've got a lot more I want to talk about on this podcast. So I just, you know, I uninstalled it and moved on to another game, which is Wu Chang. We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, a quarter of the way through that game. I'm like brass balling it through that game too in terms of system. So like I got a new CPU. I've got a 4090. Like I'm not hurting on specs. I got 64 gigs of RAM at this point. You know, the card I have has 24 gigs of DDR6. I know I'm brute forcing my way through the game. I was just talking about like how frame gen actually caused a weird stutter. So I stopped. And I still run it at 120 FPS on my system. But again, I'm not running on a normal gamer system. And that's, again, I have the means I didn't have 5 years ago. So I can understand when there are people that are having system issues. It's why it started off in a mostly negative because it's running so poorly for a lot of people to now about a mixed rating. But on consoles, it has a pretty high rating. It's basically Dark Souls with more butt cheeks. Gunnar Souls, as Fighting Cowboys called it.
Like it, the term just drives me crazy, but Gunnar, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, or Souls like.
Just the term Gunnar, it drives me nuts.
It's a way for people to dismiss a game, I think. And there's enough people that are upset enough about the performance that's what they're hyper-focusing on to justify why it sucks. So, it really doesn't suck, though.
When I was playing, you know, like, sure, it was half an hour, right? So I didn't get very far into it. But what I saw of it didn't accentuate the fact that, you know, it was, that it was... a lady, if I had to actually like compare like the visual style of Stellar Blade versus, Wu Chang, I think Wu Chang is more traditional. It's not as, say, bland as your female character, body type B character in Dark Souls, right?
Well, it doesn't have the Dark Souls square butts.
Right, doesn't have the Dark Souls square butt, right? But, I don't want the term of Gunnar to be added to just about anything that is a female character. That's what I fear for game design right now is... Just because the character is a female protagonist, that it turns into Gunnar X game.
I almost wasn't. So I wanted a game with more character customization, and I almost didn't pick it up. And I remember it, I'd had it on my wish list for a while, and it was like, oh yeah, the art style of the game is very much like a very dark fantasy setting. I was like, I'm going to give it a try. Again, unplug it again. Green Man Gaming. Got it for about $15 off. Hopped in. And I haven't had a single crash. Again, I know I'm the minority. But it does some things that are just different. Now, I was playing Stellar Blade, and I was kicking ass at Stellar Blade last week. And I'd started Wuchang last week with the dual wheel build, right? And, you know, I'd looked at Cowboy playing some stuff, and he was, like, whipping ass with it. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And it just did not click. And I didn't realize why it didn't click. I was getting murdered. I was just, like, being destroyed with that build. And, you know, I didn't know anything about how the build works, but here's how it works. So, you have a weapon tree for each weapon. And then you have kind of, like, your base skill tree. And that base skill tree is extremely important to synergize with the weapon build. And, like, just for beginners, right, like, your base body tree, let's just call it that, right? Like, that's where you get extra heal potions. That's where you get some extra health, right? That's where you get some extra ways to charge your mana, so to speak. So, you charge mana in a way called feathering. So, in a base way, without any extra weapon skills, every time you dodge something, you get a point of mana, right? And some skills, that you have, so think of it, what were the special weapon skills called in Elden Ring?
Weapon arts.
Weapon arts, okay. So basically every weapon has a weapon art, right? And that weapon art is triggered by using some of that mana. And you get those mana in singular points, so kind of like action points, right? So I do a perfect dodge, I get a mana point. Well, different weapons have different ways of also adding to that. So with the daggers, I want to say it was every third or fourth hit, I got a point of mana. But it wants you to go through and learn how to clash, which is something completely different than any other game. So like every third or fourth hit with your daggers actually clashes with the weapon enemy blade. And then that negates the damage essentially, right? But it's not a concept I was real familiar with, and you have to go deep enough into the tree that it didn't quite click, and so that's why I was getting destroyed. It also has zero stagger. And so I was like, you know what? Everybody's talking about these long sword builds and the short sword, like, mage builds. I was like, I'm going to try axe. I'm just going to give it a go. And then I realized that axe has incredibly huge stagger. And it builds up its mana in a couple of different ways. The biggest way I'm getting most of my mana is every fourth hit from a light combo gives me additional mana points, right? And there is a specific ability you get off the first boss, which is like it looks like a wind-up from a baseball bat. You know, like when Mark McGwire is about to hit a grand slam, right? Like the leg goes up, cocks back, and then swings the baseball bat, and then knocks it out of the park. That's what that ability looks like, except it's a big flaming, like, brand that you swing. And it also generates a point of mana, which chains into my light combo to give me another point of mana. So I can essentially, if I get that going, I can grand slam, hit light attack, grand slam, hit light attack. And I can do that like 5 times in a row, which is insane. And also, it also counts I'm going to call it the grand slam, as a clash. So I can just like brutally work my way through stuff with that. So I've gotten to a point with the axe that I can just murder everything. There is a pretty big skill check in the middle of the game. I want to say it's like Hu Long or something like that. Anyways, there's a Chica that is like a general something or other. She's got a lot of attacks, and it took me a while to figure out a good way of taking her down. I got my guy set to where every third light attack also gives me health back, and then you've got these things called temperance. So you can essentially add an effect to your weapon based on items that you found in the world. So you start off with like flaming weapon, essentially, right? Well, I've got leech on attack weapon for mine that I use a lot. And so for me, I can drench my weapon in blood, get health like vampirism, essentially, right? It's a leech build. Plus, every third attack gets me health back. And I got into a pretty good system with that, that I was able to stagger that boss into oblivion with that build and just heal through all of her attacks, minus a few. Not going to lie, that took me 20 attempts to kind of retool my thought process on how to do it. But I brute forced my way through that boss with a leech build and just battered it. Like, I got to the point where I could get to the second phase in like 20 seconds. And it was mastering that same strategy through the second phase of that fight. But yeah, like, there's this whole thing where I can dodge through an attack and then hit a heavy charge attack if I dodge through an attack almost instantly. Through this, like, I can click left stick and I can pull up my other weapon and do a heavy attack. If you hit stuff from behind with a heavy attack, there's a chance of stagger, even on bosses. And then that gives you a chance to go in and get a brutal attack off of them. So now I'm at a point with this character where I feel like I'm vastly, like, I feel like I've mastered what the axe has to offer, and it's only getting better. And I'm only like a quarter of the way into the game. But I'm just like, there's some stuff I'm just like one hit killing, like wombo comboing through things. Like, I have no fear because the axe is just so fucking brutal. And I like it. Again, it's the only weapon I know of that staggers this hard. Like, you hit an enemy and they visibly recoil, which means they're not getting an attack off. Like, right. I'll go into a crowd of enemies and do my wind up heavy attack combo, and I just spin around that attack is in Diablo, right? Like, the spinning attack. It's essentially that, except so I'm hitting huge arcs around me and staggering all the enemies around me with this heavy charge attack, and it's so satisfying. Like, the combat is really satisfying. Also, the art design in this game is pretty satisfying. Like, the enemies are very much in that very dark fantasy, Dark Souls, twisted creature design stuff, right? Yeah, it's pretty good. I know some people are saying it's harder than Dark Souls. I'd say it's on par. I think it's on par. I just figured out maybe this is a broken system. I don't know. Like, there isn't anything that stands a chance. And the few times that it does stand a chance, like, it just takes me retooling my thought process a little bit before I just, like, wallop my way through stuff, and it's extremely satisfying. Like, I forgot, you know, I'm playing a chica, even though I wish this was a dude with a big thick beard. That would have been great, because this feels very much like a berserker build. That's if you're trying the game and you're playing it, like, don't sleep on the axe. Like, I understand, like, the super flashy combo systems of the dual blade is supposed to be really, really good. The fact that I just stagger my way through enemies and, like, nothing. There's this whole system where if you die a lot, you basically get, you do more damage but take more damage. And then if you die while you're at full feathering, is what they call it, then you've got to fight this like, demon version of yourself, essentially, to get your souls back. And it does this weird thing, like, if you haven't died in a while, like, you lose, like, 10% of your souls. That's what we'll call it. It's called Mercury. You lose like 10%. And so, like, you literally could level up after dying, which is crazy. But if you die versus that demon, you lose 100%. So as you die a lot more, you actually lose more souls, but you're getting more dangerous, essentially, right? Till you get to that final thing. And there's been times that I've, like, actually, you can get special of, you can, in your body, let's call it the body tree, right? You can go in and spec yourself to do even have even better effects from having that high level of feathering. So I've gotten to a point where I don't fear my inner demon. I used to. I don't at all. And now it, like, very randomly in certain parts of certain levels, it just pops out and just wants to eat my lunch. I'm just like, no, thank you. Come back at me, bro. You're dying. I am. Like, it's almost like the game's frustrated. You haven't died in an hour, so let's send this demon after you. And I don't know how the mechanic works. Maybe it's just specific spots in the level. but just randomly appears out of nowhere and wants to fight you. Like, bro, we haven't dueled in a while. We're gonna need to clash, and then I just like eat its fucking lunch. Yeah, combat's super satisfying. I really like the combat, like a lot. I'm having a fantastic time with it. But in the true nature of things, right? Like I have to, you know, gotta balance myself out. I tried a little bit of Grounded 2. It's not clicking with me right now. The first one didn't click with me real hard either. Supposedly there's a lot of systems that are implemented to make for quality of life. I don't remember the first one enough. It runs fine. It's in early access. Apparently it's a more grindy game than I want to play right now. And I guess I'm just not feeling survival right now.
I've never really got into that game just specifically because of the spiders. I mean, they make a big fucking deal about it, and
oh, and they're all over the place. There's an
arachnophobic mode, but it's not enough.
Yeah, this one's got spiders and scorpions and praying mantises.
My wife loved playing through the first one.
Yeah, it's very, you know, I mean, it's riffing off Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, right? Like, it's just grindy enough that I'm just not feeling it when I got these other games, so I've kind of put it on hold. I may play it. I may not. I don't know. It's on the furthest back burner. If I'm really feeling survival, I might go back to it. But I've got too many games I want to finish, and this is not a game I'm going to finish anytime soon. So I went to a game called Drill Core, which I didn't realize was in 1.0 release. I have a folder on my Steam library that says Play After Early Access. Well, I'd gotten a notification, looking through my email for something else that said, oh, Drill Core is in 1.0 release. It released just last month. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back through that. And I don't remember if anybody remembers what this game is, but essentially you're on a platform, a drilling platform on an alien planet. And so you take your little characters and you set out what nodes they're going to mine, and all of those resources kind of feed into your roguelike nature of this game, and I'll explain. So you've got your iron, which you use to upgrade and create more workers, and you also use to create turrets because it is also a tower defense game. And then you've got like this green node that's part of your permanent upgrade stuff. You've got a gold node that's part of your permanent upgrade stuff, and you've got a purple node that's part of your permanent upgrade stuff. And in every little like section that you dig down, your drill platform goes down, and then it opens up nodes on the tunnel above you for turrets. And then you've got a platform that you can set up different things for, different upgrades for fighting the bugs or for helping your workers out while they're mining below. And you can keep stacking the levels on that platform, essentially, right? So you kind of can kind of set priorities for what you want to mine, and then you've got permanent upgrades that add a bunch of different stuff to make the game actually run easier. The runs are pretty long, so I feel like I need to challenge myself more and play it in a harder mode. I played one last night that took me 2.5 hours. This morning, I've literally been playing it all the way up until we did this podcast. Like, I did 3 runs that were a little bit more challenging and unlocked a whole bunch more stuff. Drill Core is a really good game, though. It's done in a pixel art style, and it's not for everybody. That's for me. I like good pixel art. It's really good pixel art. It's Tiny Build Games, too, which I tend to like a lot of. I like 25% of their stuff's like exceptional, and then a whole bunch of the stuff feels like spaghetti being thrown at a wall. But yeah, I probably put another 10 hours into that in the last couple of days. I just needed a quick, you know, I needed a palate cleanse from Wu Chang. So, and something that I could just like listen to podcasts to, because Wu Chang actually is pretty immersive. I've got Death Stranding as well going on in the background. I'm actually at a point that's really hard, and I decided to like put it on hold for a second and play something else. A whole lot of story beats, and I didn't know if the story beat I'm on is like another hour cutscene, so. You know, 2 weeks ago at this point, I kind of put it on hold for a second. It just haven't gone back. Still a good game. Just other things I can play in, but more bite-sized chunks. But yeah.
I'm looking at all the Tiny Build games. Like, just looking at what they've done. And it's very much what you described. Like
they have some really solid games. But This will have a lot of stuff that, like, did not land at all.
Let's see. Yeah. Like, some of these I've never heard of, and then some of them, they're like, oh, yeah, they are the ones that did Hello Neighbor, and Kill It With Fire, and Not For Broadcast, Ocean Crafts, other one, Undungeon.
Yeah, like, another one that I need to play that came out of Early Access is called Black Skylands, which I was enjoying, and then I just haven't gone back into it. Despot's game's also pretty good. That's another one that I've played. Been trying to... I pulled up their page to see what I have. Hellpoint's a game I never finished, but I've got on Epic, and I forgot about it until I looked at this. Kind of a Souls-like. Some people really liked it. I got pretty good at it, but I just didn't do it. Streets of Rogue's really good. I didn't realize Pillars of Eternity 2 was published by them, but I do like that game.
Some of those things, there's like Cluster Truck I've heard of.
Punch Club is good.
Yeah, Graveyard Keeper. Like, some things that you just never actually expected. Graveyard Keeper.
That's like a really good game, too. It's just, it's like the better version of Stardew Valley, honestly.
I prefer it because, well...
It's got pretty dark. And then Voyne's really good, too. It's just, it's in Early Access.
Then people, Donkey, you create yourself a little cult, and you slowly open the door to hell in your basement.
Yeah. And while farming.
Yeah, while farming, yes. Because you have to have the farm.
Yeah, Graveyard Keeper's a weird-ass game, but I do like it a lot. I also always meant to get done with Undungeon, but I never did for some reason. But yeah, it's a spaghetti at the wall developer, and some of their stuff's really pretty, pretty good 4 out of 5 game, right? Like, worth your time. Some of their pixel art games, like, have exceptional... Like, Graveyard Keeper has exceptional pixel art. And that game is, like, forever. That's such a long game. You can get it 100 hours out of Graveyard Keeper.
That's another one of those time management, like, you can only do so much in a day situations. But yeah, it's fun-ish. I don't know. I'm going to put the Drill Core on my wish list if I get to a point where I have a piece that I need to fill. Like, I need games that are different from other games. That would be one of them.
Oh, it's so different than everything else that I'm playing right now. That is perfect. There's literally nothing else like it.
I'm good, because I like games in my wish list that are like that.
And you always get hit. Like, I haven't lost a run yet, but apparently if you lose a run, you take back less of your stuff. So you're still getting progress regardless of the fact that you lost.
Okay.
So you didn't completely waste your time, but you can only, so you have a, one thing I did forget to mention, right? So you get enough coal and that lets you go down another level, right? So every time you go down 50 meters. In most of the levels, like, your goal is like 150 meters and 200 meters and like 300 meters. And like, I'm going down to like 500 meters. And then like, the further you go down, you run into like boss fights as well. But you get coal to continue digging down. And then when you're done with the run, like, essentially you've hit the requirements for the run, you can extract or continue to mine. And since I like to mine things, like, I have a hard time just letting stuff go to waste. So I usually take it as far as I can go before I think I'm going to lose. And then I'm just like, all right, that was pretty good. I'm just going to leave. But as far as saving it, you can only save when you – if you exit the game, it goes to the last time you drilled down, so to speak, right? So that's its checkpoint. And in between each of those levels might be 15 minutes, depending on how you play that game. So, there is that. Like, you could potentially lose 15 minutes of progress if you had to, like, Alt F4 and do something. You can pause at any time, but it is good if you wanted to play in like 20 minute chunks, you could do that too. But anyway, should we take a break, guys?
Yeah, sure.
All right, y'all, we'll be back. And we're back.
Woo-hoo.
Woo.
We are.
That was underwhelming.
That was super underwhelming. While Rusty was out taking a shit, I showed Jason some of the THQ trailers.
Oh, I missed
it. Yeah.
Anything stand out for you, Jason?
To be honest, I mean, it kind of underwhelmed by a lot of it.
Really?
Yeah, just, I don't know. I've kind of gotten into more of a wait and see kind of mainframe with THQ Nordic.
I'm certainly intrigued
by a lot of it, especially Darksiders 4, but then again, potential's really high for it to be another Darksiders 3. And that's not good for anybody.
Yeah, Darksiders 3 was easily the weakest in the series. I think it peaked at 2. I liked 2 a lot. Like, Darksiders 1 was a love letter to Zelda. It was like adult Zelda, basically, right? And then Darksiders 2 kind of took it to the next place and added some... Well, at that point, it was kind of a new thing, right? Like colored loot, like we didn't have before in Darksiders at all. Darksiders 3 was that weird kind of isometric game, right?
Darksiders 2 took it to the, you know, basically combined, like... your Ocarina of Time with the loots, you know, with colored loot systems. And it worked out. But it was the stronger of them, right? It was very fun.
Like, you basically, one is kind of a Metroidvania, right? Like, you're unlocking abilities to get you in different parts of the level, where two was that plus more RPG mechanics when it came to finding loot off enemies and stuff like that, right?
Different weapons and stuff like that. Yeah, the different sides, death and stuff like that. It was very, you know, dated now, but still very cool.
Yeah, back then it was super cool.
Darksiders 3, I mean, I think I had it downloaded at one point. That was the closest I got to playing that game.
I played it and beat it, and like, I think I just liked it because it was Darksiders. But like, maybe 6 or 7 out of 10 game kind of thing, right? For us, like a 3.5 out of 5, maybe.
Yeah, it was definitely a 3 or 3.5. Darksiders 3 kind of fell apart was the changes they made to the gameplay with the new character didn't feel smoothly integrated. The combat felt clunky compared to 2. I felt like there was just less effort in the story. I mean, sure, the story premise is kind of silly for Darksiders to begin with, but it did have a fairly decent story in 1 and 2, and then 3, like, I felt like they shot the bed a little bit.
Yeah, I understand, because I guess for you, the only thing you were really paying attention to was Darksiders, and to me, it was the most underwhelming one because there wasn't much of a trailer, right? It was just showing those four horsemen for four.
Yeah.
To me, that Gothic remake looks fucking tits.
I mean, sure, the Gothic remake looks good, but we're talking about another remake of a game we've all played.
But it's a remake of a game that's like 20 or 25 years old at this point. And we don't have another Skyrim. So to me, it kind of fills that gap. The other thing was that, what was that other one called?
It's the oldest new game.
It was Fate Keeper. Fate Keeper looked really cool. It reminded me of like Dark Messiah is what it looked like to me. That's a pretty old, like physics based hack and slash first person RPG.
All I saw was basic, you know, just basic gameplay, and like a physics based slasher. We've got those, you know,
like what.
The physics-based slashers, like, you know, if first person, physics-based slashers play any fucking, like, VR fucking title that's...
Okay, not VR.
Fucking,
yeah, VR.
It's not VR, I get it, but...
Skyrim was the last, like, great one, and then Fall of Babylon's pretty good. So, two games in 15 years. That's why, to me, it looks appealing. And then you got, you know, Oblivion, right? That's why that looks good, and it looks more brutal than those. I guess I'm in my own camp here. And then Eternal Life of Goldman looked pretty fucking crazy.
Now, that looks trippy as hell. And I'm kind of here for that one.
It's like it goes from almost like Cuphead, almost innocent style, like side-scroller, old-school animation style, right, to super trippy acid trip, super over-the-top body horror craziness. There's a whole scene of, like, him kind of jumping in and out of the background as he's doing some platforming, which looks really crazy. I wishlisted that instantly. And since we don't have an E3 anymore, right, like, this is kind of how we're going to get games. Like, Titan Quest 2, kind of waiting to see what that turns into being right now. Before I go out and buy it. I don't want to play an ARPG right now. And I played Titan Quest 2 a million years ago. It's a remake. Pretty sure. Is Titan Quest 2 a remake or is it a... Wait, that was a new dog.
Titan Quest is... So Titan Quest 2 is actually a...
Is it a sequel to the original?
Yeah, so...
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
So it's not a... Titan Quest original came out in, like, 2004 or something like that.
It's an old-ass game, yeah. Titan Quest, the original game was
2006.
Yep.
Yeah, so almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. It falls into the camp of you know, ARPGs, right? You know, if you like, you know, your Diablo likes or something like that, it's along the same vein. It may not be exactly the same, but it's along the same vein. I'm gonna try Path of Exile 2 again, but Titan Quest 2 kind of like that was. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up now. It's still early access, right? So it was released into early access. There's not much there, from what I was able to find. Like 6 hours worth of content.
Yeah.
You know, not much there. So
like $25 right now too.
Yeah. There's plenty of better ARPGs for the same price or less if you're looking to have something that's a bit more full-featured, then there's ones out there.
Well, PoE is still in early access too, which is why it's uninstalled on my machine.
Well, PoE is going to be, well, Path of Exile, the original Path of Exile was technically early access for years. It was always in a beta of some sort because they always kept adding shit to it. And they just, they have a problem with scope creep with that, you know, with that game where they never really kind of like had a hard ass release. They just like, we're just going to continually add more shit and more shit to it. And then they'll stack that shit together. And they'll, at one point they said, all of the shit that we did in the last 5 years, that's our 1.0 release. And we're going to continue stacking more shit on top of this. I'm like, I'm surprised that that game didn't get weighed down by its own systems. I hope they don't do the same thing with Path of Exile 2, but I haven't really been able to play Path of Exile 2 for any length of time because when I did play it, it crashed my shit. So I'm starting to think maybe I've got a hardware problem. I don't know. I play other games just fine, so it's a weird thing. Maybe my 3090 just does not like Unreal Engine. That might be. Maybe I just need to wipe my machine. Whatever. I don't know. Fuck. I just work in IT. What do I know? Let's see. Things and stuff that I saw on the news, like shit that, you know, that, you know, talking about stuff that was, you know, was thrown out there as far as new games coming down the pipe. Saw a bunch of shit about Battlefield 6. Of course, PvP games not my style, but I can understand what they're going for here. Battlefield 6, got into the news, and you know, a bunch of YouTubers got a chance to go and, you know, and actually play the game and, you know, and see what they're doing with it. And it's basically taking all the crazy shit that Call of Duty has been doing in the past couple of years and dialing it back to basically like Battlefield 2. Keeping it combat-faced, combat-focused, environmental destruction, but you're not going to have crazy fucking, like, skins for your guns. Your guns shoot bullets. It's really, like, keep it simple, stupid, right? You know, it's, going back to their roots as far as, like, making it more about tactical combat, making more, having more emphasis on the class systems, your engineer, your medics, and whatnot. And that is something that is desperately needed in the first-person shooter space, especially now. Everything kind of went a little fucking crazy after Fortnite exploded, and a bunch of the, like, Call of Duties and shit have been chasing that fucking, like, rainbow fucking unicorn bullshit, in these games. Like, you've got to have the flashy fucking skins and this, that, and the other thing. Just bring it back to what it, what the games were originally about. Like, bring in modern warfare, because warfare's changed, right? Focus on the systems and not on the skin. You can have a really kick-ass game where you are attacking a position, and maybe the best way to clear that position is to level the building that is in that position. So instead of attacking the players, you're attacking the structure, you know, and trying to bring the fucking house down. Would be a totally viable way to play in Battlefield. And I remember watching videos of, you know, like the old Battlefield 2 times where, you know, that was the way you did shit. Attack the structure.
And bad company.
You know, yeah, it's like, if you attack the structures, you take out the squads and the structures, right? easy. You know, the may not be the most direct way of going about it, but it worked. It looks like Battlefield 6 is going to go back to that, but add more of the modern warfare elements, like, you know, having, you know, modern equipment and stuff like that in it. So that's going to be nice. It's something that's absolutely needed for Battlefield fans. In fact, Call of Duty people are looking at Battlefield 6 and anticipating Battlefield 6 more than the next Call of Duty for the first time in a long time. Mainly because they're just fed up with the fucking guns that turn into fucking, like, unicorns and shoot rainbow farts. It's insane, some of the fucking skins they've done, you know, to, you know, what they've done to those games. It's not needed, right? So I completely agree. Not that I'll ever play the game, but, whatever. That said, I have, you know, on the last podcast, basically, you know, and many podcasts prior to that, it said one of the reasons why I get, you know, so fed up with video games these days is that they just come out with unoriginal bullshit, right? There's nothing new. It's just a fucking rehash of a thing, and you don't get anything that's unique. And, you know, just a couple days ago, a very well known person in the gaming industry has basically said the exact same goddamn thing that I've been saying for the past, you know, forever. The quote I'm looking at is from Hideo Kojima. The quote is, "The most interesting work is happening among indies, while big budget gaming studios are churning out things that are safe and tremendously boring."
Yeah, the WB Games is going off of another live service hero shooter based in the DC franchise, like, what, a year and a half after Suicide Squad, like, fucking bit the bullet. Like, what are you doing, bro?
What's the thought process behind that? It's basically the same damn thing over again, and it failed last time. That's what gets me the most, is that it literally is that, you know, the job posting that you're talking about, it could have been for, you know, you could have slotted that into, you know, Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. It fits perfectly. Like, it's exactly the same fucking thing, right? But it didn't work last time. They're going to do it again? Are you serious? Do you not know the definition of insanity? This is why I will celebrate a game like The Alters that does take elements from games, you know, from games that you are familiar with, but throws a monkey wrench in it and has you do something that's completely different. You know, any game that you can say, "Hey, I played this game and there's not something quite like it." We need more of those, because ultimately, you know, if you end up playing a game that's just like another game, it will eventually get to a point where it's like, okay, well, I mean, this is just a new skin on the old game that I like to play. You know, and Souls games are getting that way, unfortunately, right now, to a point where FromSoft is having to, you know, think outside the box when we want them to stay in the fucking box, right?
I intend on going back to Night Rain at some point. Apparently Duo's just released.
And I heard about that, and honestly, I still, even after that, I am not interested really in basically breaking my muscle memory from Elden Ring. Like, I have heard the people who played that's played Nightreign can't really go back to Elden Ring ever because it breaks how your mind works to that game. Like, it breaks everything that you learn from that game. Instead of being methodical and trying, you know, and working through it like a Souls game, you are essentially rushed in a way to do things differently. And of course, they've got flashy ass fucking moves and you run way faster, and it's just like the whole pacing is off. So I don't want to ruin Elden Ring for myself. Eventually, I will want to go back to that game and, you know, play it for the third or fourth or fifth fucking time, you know? And I think that Nightreign will, you know, just ruin it completely for me. So I'm boycotting the fuck out of Nightreign simply because I like the base material that it came from, and I don't want to ruin it. You know, just my thoughts. But I mean, we could be fucking waiting 6+ years for new games. I mean, there's sometimes indie, some, you know, will kick you in the nuts. I mean, smaller studios do shit, right? Every so often. And right now, I mean, you could be like me, you know, hearing about this game that, you know, what initially was going to be a DLC for a game, back in 2019, and I'm talking about Silk Song here. First, if you played any of the fucking base game for Hollow Knight, you knew about Silk Song from way the fuck back then. It was initially going to be a fucking DLC, but it's taken 4 fucking ever. It's a thing that almost was like vaporware.
It got another, you know, announcement with the Xbox thing, but didn't give a date.
So it keeps popping back up. It's kind of like that tease, right?
I won't believe it's a thing till it's a thing.
There is a subset of people out there that just says, okay, Silk Song keeps being teased. I won't believe that the game is actually a game until the game is in my fucking in my Steam library or whatever. You know, I won't believe that it's actually coming until I have it. And here we are. Like, it's supposed to be sometime in the next 12 months is what it, you know, is what the tweet says. A dude called that guy says, you're telling me Silk Song is going to be out within the next 12 months. And Xbox responded, that's exactly what we said. Okay. it's a thing. I don't know. I'm not even sure if I want to play it anymore. I mean, fucking Hollow Knight was good and all, but that was 6 years ago, you know. Is that gonna be a thing? Like, am I gonna be able to get back into that game? Maybe. I don't know. I think I think they waited way too fucking long on that. And it's just unfortunate. They really should have, you know, put forth a lot of effort to get that shit out quicker. I don't know. There's a whole article about it, and there's a whole reason behind all of it, and I don't know. I haven't read much of the article. It's on IGN if you want to see it. But yeah, it's a thing. But I don't have much more outside of, like, I know there's some more. I know there's more fucking backlash on the payment processing since last week.
Yeah, there is a movement going on where people are calling the Visa customer service number to ask questions about it and jamming up the lines right now on top of sending emails. Because payment processors are, I guess, you know, like basically no, like I don't care about the porn games. Like, let's start there. That's not really my thing.
Right.
But you kind of should be able to spend your money on whatever you want. Right. Like, is it illegal? No. Am I buying cocaine with my credit card? No.
Yeah, if you're not buying anything outright illegal.
That's the part that bothers me.
Do they care?
That is.
It kind of bleeds into a lot of other things that aren't necessarily convert, you know, like your wireless hole punch that you purchased, right? Like, should that be illegal to buy on your debit card? Like, I don't know. If they took a stance against that, then that seems silly, right?
It seems really silly, and it's very much a slippery slope. Like where do they draw the line? Like
if they get away with it,
that are blatant, right? I get games that are blatantly like porn games, right? There's that, right? But take for instance,
but can't you use your credit card for porn if that's what you want to do?
I mean, to each their own.
I'm just saying it's not really my thing, but
I don't see
any difference between that and buying a Playboy at a newsstand, right?
Well, I get that. So here's my thing. I actually just recently went through this with a purchase that I did just in the last week. Not the Second Amendment purchase. It's a completely different thing. I needed to basically buy something with a virtual credit card. And there's services out there for exactly that. In fact, if you go to privacy.com, you can actually have a free account where you can set up a virtual card. You can set it up so that it only does like one transaction, or you can set a payment limit on it. And if you are giving it to somebody for making a payment on something that might be shady as fuck to you, like, you know, if you're wanting to buy something from Temu and you really don't trust the fucking, you know, Temu payment systems, this is the way to do it. What's stopping people from doing something like that? Because, I mean, honestly, you're using a virtual credit card at that point. It's not Visa. It's just being paid to. You know, like privacy.com, and then privacy.com is making the payment, you know, forward, right? When you're starting to have to add middlemen to be able to do shit that you normally used to be able to do, just because a company says, we don't like that. When does the company stop doing that? And again, my initial thought process here was porn games or adult games, as you know, as they were labeled, where's the line drawn? Like, I get the ones that are completely 100% like, you play this game so that you have, you know, you see nothing but virtual, you know,
so you have shake and bake material,
right? Exactly. But where's the line drawn? Because, like, for instance, I'm playing fucking Cyberpunk 2077, and there's a dick slider. There is, you can have, you know, relationships and get fucking completely naked in that game. That's just one of those games. Another game that, you know, that has a dick slider and can get, you know, it's Baldur's Gate 3. Both of these games are very, very popular fucking AAA games, right? Been in the news forever. Not one of these games is actually, you know, being prevented from being purchased. You know, but if the slope slides more, will Visa say, hey, you can't buy Baldur's Gate 3 because it includes sexual themes, and we don't do that. You can only play, you can only use our cards for fucking Hello Kitty Adventure Island. I mean, at one point do they draw the line? And I think that's where most of the customer service, you know, clogging up and shit and the backlash is coming from. Because you can't really do that.
And I mean, to top it all off, I mean, the biggest part of it is that, you know, Visa's, we're not just talking about Visa credit cards here. We're talking about, you know, the vast majority of, debit and check cards around the country, because most of the banks use Visa as a processor for their check cards.
Oh yeah, and that's 100%. I understand that. So there's, again, there's ways around that. You have to use third party, you know, service to be able to do some of these things. And they already do have these. I think I talked about something that was happening in Japan, using a third party service to do something very similar, where they used a QR code to purchase games. Right? Same deal. It's just instead of, you know, having a card that's virtual, you're using a virtual storefront and using your card on the virtual storefront. It's just a different way of doing things, but. You know, same outcome. You end up having to go through a middleman. It's just a matter of time before that middleman starts charging money for that exact, you know, that exact service. And privacy.com isn't free. I mean, there's a free tier, but you only get so many transactions a month. It worked for me for the situation that I needed it for, but it was, you know, like if you do a bunch of, you know, bunch of game purchases, shouldn't have to do this. And this is, and that's kind of what the uproar is about right now, is you shouldn't have to do any of this. It's my money. I can spend it on what I like. But if the payment processor, especially in like the cases of a debit card, like that's really my money. I earned that shit. I'm not borrowing it from Visa, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
They should not be saying, you know, no at all for me spending my money. You know, it's just a weird fucking, like, this is the kind of dystopian bullshit that we have to worry about in today's day and age. And I really hope that Visa and MasterCard actually, like, learn their lesson from this in some way.
We'll see what happens. GOG had a really hilarious response.
Yeah.
They decided for this weekend and this weekend only. So, you know, this will be done. This will be over by the time this episode releases. They basically, for August 1st through the 3rd, gave away 13 games for free that would seem to fall in that NSFW visual novel bucket. One of those being Postal 2.
Oh my god.
Wait, that made it into there?
Yes. So I totally claimed this whole thing to... And immediately deleted the others from my GOG library because I don't need that smut. just for Postal 2, because Postal 2 is a totally hilarious game, and I felt like backing GOG on their total god move by doing this. But also included in this whole thing was a game we've talked about previously, House Party. That complete unabashed just college orgy simulator game. And a bunch of others that I've not heard of, but apparently there have been a lot of downloads on both on GOG and Steam. So you know who knows? I just thought that was a hilarious, like, just total dick move. Hey, you're not going to let us. You're essentially not going to let us sell these anymore. Well, here, we'll give them away. Which I thought was hilarious.
Damn. Well, I'm not seeing it on GOG right now. I'll have to look.
That's because it is exclusively a link, freedomtobuygames.com.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
And I'm of the thought, if nothing else, people should be doing it just to snub their nose at everybody else and support GOG, and then you can remove the shit from the library, like, whatever.
Censorship is quietly deciding which games you can buy. We are fighting back. Exactly. Some games vanish, not because they broke the law, but because someone decided they shouldn't exist. For 48 hours, these games are free, because if a game is legal, you should be free to buy it. I mean, yeah. Fetish Locator, week one.
What?
All right. Helping the hotties.
What?
Yeah. Agony's on there. Remember the
fucking, yeah, Trent backed that Kickstarter. Unfortunately, it's not a very good game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's there. Leap of Love. Being a Dick.
D-I-K.
D-I-K, yeah. Or Delta. Yeah. Honey Pop. Leap of Faith. Lust Theory. Some really good games. Look, good games. If you want some
high quality games, but, you know, I'm supporting GOG in their decision here. Because I think it's a total baller move.
You don't have to claim all the games. You can just claim individuals. So,
yeah, I only claimed Postal. Yeah, but
I'm gonna go ahead and just sweet. I'll redeem my the codes for Postal and Agony, even though the game's terrible. That's really the only ones that I'm really interested in. The fact of the matter is that you, unfortunately, the listener will not unless you have heard about this. Not have a chance to protest all this, but you can protest it. There is a link to the social media platform formerly known as Twitter. You can fight back.
But Justin could share the link on our Facebook.
There you go.
And our Twitter.
There you go. The platform for Twitter.
Yeah, if one of you wants to give it to me.
Sure, right here. There you go.
All right.
Perfect. That's all I've got, man. I Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the relevant news I could really find this week, so.
In one of those weeks, I think the payment processing thing's still pretty big, though. It bleeds into a lot of other things.
I'm interested to see how that develops over the next week or so, because, I mean, it was a big problem last, and it's gotten to a point where, like you said, they were just getting inundated with phone calls. Emails can, you know, the thing that I saw here, on, it's a, the one that I'm looking at is Polygon, but, the article says that emails can be ignored, but a long, long wait time in a phone queue, prevents, you know, legitimate clients from, you know, getting through, which is disruptive to say the least. And I know, you know, from my past, you know, from my past long queue times, it definitely gets noticed by management. So, so yeah, hopefully, you know, hopefully things change. We start to see some, you know, some backing down from this bullshit, because eventually what will end up happening is those, you know, the middlemen sites will become more and more popular and will just take over that market. Anyway, I'm good. I'm stepping back from the mic.
All right.
All right, guys. Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/tiltcastshorts. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. You've got Picking Up the Pixels or Pupcast with Boston and Musum, as well as tvgp.tv. They do good things and also cover game news. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right, guys. Thanks.